Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, 5:29-22. There's a scripture that Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he said, he puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. One time when we were in the gym with our former pastors, the Lord gave me a word of prophecy about those that came through the sea, that to quit looking back because there ain't anything there. See, we have to move forward. The reason that we feel inadequate, we feel maybe we have missed it, we feel like maybe we have not done what we should have done, or we all the stuff that goes with it, that all comes as a result of looking back. But the Lord wouldn't have us look back, because for the most part, whatever where we missed or where we made a wrong turn, we've already said, we're sorry, Lord, will you forgive us? And he said, yeah. So he wouldn't have us keep looking back. You can't change anything. If you could have, you would have done it when you was there, wouldn't you? No, this is about receiving forgiveness, and as far as God is concerned, you have no past. So if we keep looking back, we will be unfit to move forward to what he has us to do. Everything that he has before us is better than anything we walk behind us. That truth of the best is yet to come is really true. So let's stop regretting. Let's stop thinking about how we missed it. We all do it. And just move forward. We need to change. You know, the Lord's having us make confessions about the nation. Well, we might need to make a few about ourselves and say, thank you, Lord, that you always cause me to triumph. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We have to focus on God in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I'm telling you, the smallest, most minutest plan of God is greater than anything you could ever think up or do. So, just putting things in perspective. Just rolling the guilt. You know, before Joshua took the children of Israel in. In fact, I'll just read that scripture. This is Joshua chapter 1. I think it's chapter 1. We'll look here. They were fixing to go into the promised land. It may be 5. Let me look here. This is Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the approach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal until this day. Gilgal means rolling away the reproach. It's time to stop. Well, I missed it. Lord told me to do it, but I missed it. But I missed it. It's time to roll that garbage away. It's time to say, I fully obey the Lord. I hear from the Holy Spirit. I move with the Holy Spirit. You know what? If we can't do that in this area, how are we going to do it in these big areas? If you doubt yourself here, how can you be confident here? So it's time. Gilgal. Roll it all off. This is a new day. We're going into the promised land. All right. With that, I'll start this word. This is the prophet's corner uncut. It's called turning into the wind. You've been asking about the heightened spiritual warfare as of late. This is what is going on. I have turned you into the wind. For each level you go to, there will be this process of turning into the wind. Consider ships. When they go into battle, they must first be turned into the wind. For aircraft to reach maximum potential, they must take off into the wind. When you do this, you encounter the fierceness of the wind. Are you hearing everything I said? Okay. But the wind also adds to your momentum. In this process, you're going where you have not gone before, and you're experiencing a new level devil. You will experience this from time to time as I turn you into the wind. On many occasions, as you move forward in what I have called you to do, it is painful and troublesome for a time, but learn to use it as momentum. Consider the eagle. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is all in the warrior process. Do you expect to do warfare and there be no opposition? Why do you act so shocked when you encounter this? You are my warriors, right? What do warriors do? Warfare. You're a part of my Gideon army. Yes, the remnant. Gideon's army was small, but I helped him to triumph over his enemy by faith, just like I am doing for you. You're waging a good warfare. I am with you too. This is a supernatural spiritual battle that is unseen in the natural, but the results will be seen in the natural. You are pulling down strongholds in the spirit realm where the battle is. Peter said, do not think it strange. The strange part, think that you won't have your faith tried. Thinking, what? You know how we act. Any new thing that comes along, have our mental breakdowns, physical breakdowns. And thinking, Peter said, don't think it's strange. This is all part of it. We got slapped down a little this week. I have to say that. So many things going wrong. Getting into mouthing about what's going wrong. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want from me? Nothing. Silence. Crickets. And then I just come to me. I told you to speak to your mountain. I told you to say what you want, not what you're seeing, not what you're experiencing. All right, this is 1 Peter 4. Why do you think the things, the challenges are in your way for you to change them? Just like God did in Genesis 1. Did he have a mental breakdown whenever he saw the earth without form and void, covered with water, darkness was upon the face of the earth, the water? What did he say? He said what he wanted. What did he see? What he said. This is 1 Peter 4. If he wants to trust us to the real things that really matter, this has to come under control, right? He's got to be able to trust us, because when your words become powerful, when you go into one of your rants, you might get what you ranted. You understand? All right. Beloved, verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you. What now? Sound familiar? But rejoice. Oh, that hurts. But rejoice. I want to bawl and squall. I want to get on the phone and cuss somebody out. That's what I want to do. But it says no. Insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also exceedingly with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And he says here, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. He's talking about not getting in the flesh concerning these areas. Even though your flesh wants to so bad, especially when it's just happened over and over and over. All right. This is rejoicing time. You've made it to this new level. My grace will see you through, so trust me. Now I'm going to read to you another word that I brought on 5-8-22 called a new direction. Lest we forget. I mean, words are great, but we don't need to forget these. All right, a new direction. I'm moving you in a new direction. You've been sensing this in your spirit. It will always happen in the spirit first. When you see it manifest in the earth, naturally remember it happened in the spirit first. This is how it operates, whether understood or not. This is the way of faith. I operate in the law of faith. I said that the words that I spoke were spirit and they were life. I spoke words of life and not death. Speak life and you will see life. Death and you will see death. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. You have what you say. Say what you want. What happens in the spirit does not usually happen overnight, but it happens. It is a law, the law of sowing and reaping. Be very careful with your words. Look around you, and what do you see? A byproduct of words spoken, whether good or bad. I have heard your questions you have asked regarding how much longer will this timing of training be, or time of training be. I say to you that you're right at the door of a new chapter. A new day is about to dawn for you. Don't fret. It won't be these years of training as these years of training have been. As you walk into this new direction, you will forget about all, the loneliness, the pain, the despair, the struggle, the hardness that you've had, that you've come to know. It will all be a thing of the past, and you'll look back and say, wow, how did I make it through? You made it through because I've been in the fire with you. Make no mistake about that. You did not make it through on your own. I have carried you many times when you just didn't think you could take another step. Well, that next step that you mustered enough strength to step was me helping you take it. I too had my temptation in the wilderness. As a man, I was subject to the same temptations as you are. I had to pass Father's test, just as you have had to pass Father's test. Father had to know that he could trust me to do his whole will, and it is the same for you. For you also are a son of God. Your last days are here for your testing, and I have said that I will renew your strength, and you will mount up on wings of eagles. I said that your best days are ahead, and they are. In the days ahead, the new direction will become apparent. Just keep following me. Maintain a good confession and all will be well. Don't try to make anything happen on your own. I am in the lead and I will maneuver you into what I have for you. Just keep following the Spirit. This is my way. Sometimes things appear suddenly, like a prison to the palace experience. But the real truth is that it has been formed in the Spirit over time and then it bursts through into the natural realm. I've been turning you into the wind for some time now. See, I forgot about all this when I wrote this couple of days ago. I've been turning you into the wind for some time now. It was so slow and gradual that you didn't perceive it, but now it is starting to come into focus. You've been moved into position for your great for your next assignment. You observe how you have been turning for the last 8 years. You do not even think the same way you thought back then. A slow turning into my will and my ways for you to do my plan. At the time, you did not understand it, but now you're beginning to. This was my thinking here. I was thinking about Brother Kenneth Copeland. He used to say that people stayed away from his meetings by the thousands. I can certainly identify with that statement. Once I heard him say that someone said to him that it appeared that his ministry just took off overnight, he said, well, if it did, it was the longest night of my life. Yep, God was working behind the scenes, preparing him for the work he is now doing. I'm sure we could name many others we know about that have the same kind of story to tell. I remember Joyce Meyer talking about she made more money than Dave did, and so God had her quit her job. And she said, I had to believe God for a frying pan and dish rags. And she said, my friend come over, and her husband bought her for her anniversary a fur coat. She said, it's just the coat I wanted. And she said, I acted kind to her and was happy for her, but whenever she left, I went, ran and sprawled myself over my bed and just boo-hooed. She said, all my friends were out having a good time doing their coffee clutches and having their lunches, and here I had to stay home and study. Why? He was preparing him for what she's been doing for the last 20 plus years. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom. Those that do not submit to the training will not be part of the reigning. They are like those in the parable of the sower. We talked about the parable of the sower. Satan comes to steal the word. Our life is like seed sown. Jesus was seed sown. As a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies. All right. The sower soweth the word, and these by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See, it's not just finances here, it's our spiritual walk. And there are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, seed time and harvest. I want you producing 100-fold. Now you can understand what has happened to so many ministers that have come into this area. I must deal with character before I can release my power and glory into the minister. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many never submitted themselves to the testing. I gave the commission, set my people free from the strongholds of their minds in 1994, but you are just now completing your training for that commission. Long time. Many never understood this, and so they get the cart before the horse and never see it fulfilled. Calling and separation, that is what it is called. You can be called but not separated to that call. I do not produce failing ministries. I do not have crop failure. Those that wait on me and see it through will produce 100-fold. All mine win. This is why it's been seemingly taken so long. Regardless how long it has taken, you are on time. On time is my time, and you'll be ready when your time comes. It is near. Lord just said something to me. Whether you failed or not, or done what you thought you should or not, is really none of your business. Whose business is it? See, Paul said, don't judge yourselves. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That is not wise. I mean, people can accuse you and call you names and say you've done this and that wrong. But if you go to the Father, I've had him say to me, you've done nothing wrong. Just let it roll off of you. This is where that love walk comes in. Just roll it off, forgive them, and go on. We are not under their thumb, and we're not under what they want us to do. Whether they like it or not, it doesn't really make any difference as long as we're following God and doing what He wants us to do. And He says, well done. You know, keep going. You haven't done anything wrong. It's them that's the problem. It's not you. This is why it has seemingly taken so long, regardless how long it has taken, you are on time. My time is my time, and you'll be ready when your time comes. See, this is a lot of the disappointment we go through, thinking, I ought to be further along than this. I ought to be doing blah, 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 blah. Really? No, you should be following the Spirit. And if He hasn't released you, you don't dare step out there, because you'll step out in the flesh. So look up, don't be where you're sad, be glad you've done it. You saw it through. Now that you have allowed me to work in you, now I can use you and trust you with my glory. See, He doesn't want you taking His glory. This is what this is all about. You have to be willing to see him manifest his greatness in the earth. Blind eyes open, people can't walk, walking, dead raised, all these things. But we cannot take a smidgen of his glory. Because he's using us as a pitcher. He's pouring us out. That's what we are. We're vessels. One more noble than the other, but it doesn't matter. We all have God's gifts in us to pour out as he tells us to do so, where his glory is manifested, and he gets all the glory. When Peter and John saw the man at the gate, told him to rise up and walk, he was walking and leaping and praising God. Not Peter and John. Many have gone before you: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Samuel, David, and on the list goes. All of these are my faith hall of fame. Revelation 3:12. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. It's just like he said this. Don't try to make a name for yourself. Don't brag on yourself. Let someone else brag on you. And see, that's what God's saying here. I'm going to brag on you. I'm going to put you in a pillar in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to put your name on a pillar in the Hall of Fame. And you'll be known for forever. But while these works are going on, you give me the glory. Yes, all for eternity will know who you are. Honor to honor, I say. You're already starting to see some inklings of what is to come in the natural realm. I will begin to bring you out of the quarantine state and ease you back into normal life. As my grace has been on you during your quarantine, grace will be upon you for your next assignment.